Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated March 6th, 2020. We'll begin today's reading as usual on the front page, starting with Decatur Schools, Job Opportunities. FAIR offers students resources to find work for summer beyond. Decatur. Students at Decatur Public Schools have big plans and ambitions, but in the meantime, they need some cash. I'm looking for a customer service job where I'm helping people and talking to people, said Anaudia Williams, a senior at MacArthur High School. One of the main ones I'm looking at is the Decatur Park District, with the water park and the splash park, or working in the hospital and being able to do a job that involves talking to people and helping them. Decatur Public Schools' annual job fair was held at both MacArthur and Eisenhower High Schools this week and is in its third year, said Leslie Risby, Innovative Programs Coordinator. The job fair is for sophomores through seniors who are looking for summer or part-time jobs or full-time jobs for seniors after they graduate. We just want to make sure we make the resources available to them, Risby said. Most of our students want to work. They want to make money. So we've had a nice response from our business partners in the community. A lot of them are in need of help. So this is a wonderful opportunity for them to come out and make themselves available to our students. Chantez Burton plans to be a child psychologist and just received his acceptance letter from Tennessee State University. I feel like I can get a great start with the YMCA or the Boys and Girls Club or the Park District, where I can be around kids, Burton said. I just want to get experience with children. Mateo Sanchez is interested in journalism and communications for a career and is planning to work his way through college. He hopes to go to Millikan University, so if he finds a job that will let him work and go to school at the same time, that would be ideal, he said. Students were able to ask questions, fill out job applications, and even in some cases have preliminary interviews at the job fair, and most had dressed for job interviews too. The event is not only a place to look for a job, but a learning experience about how to find job opportunities and what options are available. Kylie Clark has an internship at Caterpillar Incorporated in her field of choice, human resources, which is giving her good mentors and experience, she said. I was talking to Decatur Memorial Hospital and HSHS St. Mary's here, Clark said. The DMH lady is actually from human resources there, and she told me it's a great position and I should go for it. Jadonia Eubanks hopes to find something where she can be outdoors a lot. She wants to be a forensic pathologist and plans to get her general education credits at Richland while she determines where to go after that. I want to be the person who does autopsies, she said. I wanted to be a nurse, but after I got older, I got more interested in the bodies, and I was watching videos about how they do autopsies, and I got interested in that, she said. And the front page photograph that accompanies this article shows junior Amir Bond filling out an employment application on Thursday at Eisenhower during Decatur Public Schools' third annual job fair that was held at both MacArthur and Eisenhower High Schools. Focus on education. Do you have an idea for a story? Contact Valerie Wells at 217-421-7982. That's 421-7982, or email vwells@herald-review.com. In more local and state news, on page A3, man denies charges. Jones pleads not guilty to attempted murder, other charges. Decatur. Jacquez L. Jones, or Jaques L. Jones, appeared in Macon County Circuit Court pleading not guilty to attempted murder in a case where he is accused of gunning a Decatur man down in a hail of bullets. Judge Phoebe Bowers found probable cause to try Jones, 20, for the January 9th shooting in the 200 block of East Olive Street after his court appearance Wednesday. Jones also pleaded not guilty to a charge of aggravated battery involving the discharge of a firearm in the incident, in which prosecutors say the victim was shot 6 times. Giving evidence earlier and describing the investigation, Decatur Police Detective Jason Durbort said officers were called to the shooting scene on reports of shots fired. They were busy cataloging spent shell casings, blood spatters, and bullet holes in surrounding property when they were told the gunshot victim had arrived at Decatur Memorial Hospital. Subsequent interviews with eyewitnesses pointed to Jones as the shooter, who was seen firing from a car window. Defense attorney Dave Ellison questioned the eyewitness evidence, focusing on the fact that Jones was seen apparently hanging out of the car window and driving the vehicle at the same time. He asked Durbort whether any tests for gunshot residue had been performed on Jones's body or clothing, and they were told they had not. Jones was arrested around 3:38 a.m. January 1st, following a high-speed vehicle chase across Decatur that police said touched speeds of more than 100 miles per hour. Bowers also found probable cause Wednesday to try Jones on multiple charges arising out of that incident, and he pleaded not guilty to 2 charges of aggravated fleeing and 1 count of resisting peace officers. A sworn affidavit about the chase said it began when police tried to pull a pickup truck over for a traffic violation at the intersection of West North and North Pine Streets. Giving evidence in court, Officer Adam Seifman said the truck was later discovered abandoned just north of Forest Avenue. After a search, Jones was found and arrested at his home on West Macon Street. He'd been sought on a warrant since the January 9th shooting. Ellison asked if any police officers had actually identified Jones as driving during the chase, and Seifman said they had not. A sworn affidavit said other people present in the fleeing vehicle had named Jones as the driver. Jones's legal troubles also extend to another unrelated case in which he has pleaded not guilty to armed violence, 2 counts of aggravated unlawful use of a weapon, 1 count of dealing cocaine, and 1 count of possession of the drug. A sworn affidavit said Jones was arrested at the Macon County Courthouse on October 23rd, where he was appearing on another matter. After police investigated reports of a man with a gun threatening people in the area of West Decatur and South Edwards Streets. A description of the suspect matched Jones, and police found out he was in the courthouse. The affidavit said a search of his vehicle parked in the courthouse lot led to the seizure of a 9mm handgun and 44 grams of crack cocaine. Jones is due back in court for a pretrial hearing on this case, March 9th. Pretrial hearings for the attempted murder and vehicle chase cases are both scheduled for March 12th. Jones remains held in custody at the Macon County Jail with no bond available. Up to the challenge. Students raise money for their high schools in event at Richland, Decatur. Eisenhower High School had a good night at the high school challenge on Thursday, hosted by Richland Community College's Honors Humanities class. The students won both the first and second challenges and went into the other contests with high confidence. "Now, we just wanted to do some service project for high school," said Pamela Tackard, a student in the humanities class. "We wanted school-related activities they could do, and we wanted to distribute the $1,000 by letting them earn it." Professor Deborah Yaden said the Richland students are studying servant leadership in their class and had to produce the event, come up with the games, request the money that was given out of as prizes, and to pay for supplies and contact the participating high schools. "My students are going to be writing a paper analyzing how putting servant leadership in practice matched up with the theory that we've discussed in the classroom," Yaden said. Mahogany Johnson Cook, a senior at Eisenhower, said that 5 students on her team were chosen by an assistant principal for being model students. We don't know exactly what we're raising money for, she said, but any money for our school is good money. That was also the attitude of Anthony Lee, a senior at Maroa Forsyth. The students on that team are members of the Math Club and Scholastic Bowl teams, which came in handy for the trivia contest, for example, with some questions that clearly stumped the high school students, who had 20 seconds to agree on and write down answers. Each school had submitted potential uses for the prize money, such as new benches and trees for an outside study area or incentives for students with good attendance and behavior. Challenges ranged from guessing the number of Tootsie Rolls in a jar to a game where contestants had to poke a pool noodle down the back of their shirts with a crazy sock at the top end and try to steal another team's socks. Amid much laughter, Eisenhower won the contest for a $75 prize. Another game put teammates on opposite sides of the room with one blindfolded and charged with tossing a stuffed animal toward a bucket held by the other, and the team with the most stuffed animals in the bucket won. That prize also went to Eisenhower, though Decatur Christian School guessed the number of Tootsie Rolls and won $50 for that. Participating schools included Argenta Oriana, Decatur Christian, Maroa Forsyth, Eisenhower, Meridian, Cerro Gordo, and St. Teresa. And one picture that accompanies this shows Richland sophomore Pamela Tackwood showing a jar to Maroa Forsyth school students for a game Tuesday. And the large picture shows Caleb McKinley, a student from Eisenhower High School, participating in a game on Thursday on the campus of Richland Community College. Man facing child sex charges. Federal grand jury indicts Williams, Urbana. A federal grand jury has indicted a 30-year-old Decatur man on charges that he sexually exploited a child younger than 14. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Central District of Illinois said in a statement that Courtney Williams was arrested and appeared in federal court in Urbana last month. The indictment charges him with enticement of a minor, attempted sexual exploitation of children, and sex trafficking of children, specifically a child under the age of 14, to engage in a commercial sex act. Prosecutors say Williams used the internet and a cell phone to entice a girl to engage in sexual activity during a period of time between January 17th and January 25th. According to an affidavit in the case, Williams portrayed himself as a 17-year-old male while communicating with the girl by Snapchat and text, including the Text Now application. He asked for sexually explicit photos and to meet to engage in sexual activity, the affidavit said. The affidavit said Williams picked up the girl on January 24th, took her to his house, gave her drugs that caused her to lose consciousness, and then sexually assaulted her. If convicted for enticement of a minor, the penalty is 10 years to life in prison. For attempted sexual exploitation of a child, the penalty is 15 to 30 years in prison. And for sex trafficking of children, Williams faces a penalty of 15 years to life in prison, the U.S. Attorney's Office said. Records show he is being held in the Macon County Jail. The government is represented by Assistant U.S. Attorney Ellie M. Pearson in the prosecution. The charges are the result of investigation by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Homeland Security investigations and the Decatur Police Department. This case is prosecuted as part of Project Safe Childhood, a nationwide Department of Justice initiative to combat child sexual exploitation and abuse. Ever wonder how to ... Clinton event might help. Clinton. Want to learn a new hobby or skill? Vespasian Warner Public Library, District in Clinton, We'll host a free how-to festival from 1 to 3 p.m. Saturday. About 20 students will be set up by local organizations, businesses, and hobbyists with demonstrations and hands-on activities for adults and children. Attendees may select topics of interest and learn how a topic or skill and learn about a topic or skill in under 10 minutes. Some topics include researching your family tree, playing the ukulele, getting started with beekeeping, training your dog, sewing a button, and properly folding the American flag. The event includes refreshments and door prizes. For details or a full schedule, visit vwarner.org or call 217-935-5174. Again, that's 935-5174. And more local and state on page A5. Outgoing superintendent gets look at new district. Kendrick Weichel leaving WL for McLean County Unit 5. Normal. Outgoing Warrensburg-Latham superintendent Kristen Kendrick Weichel spent the week getting her first look at McLean County Unit 5, where she'll be taking over as superintendent next year. "It's been amazing," said Kendrick Weichel at the end of a tour through Normal Community High School on Thursday. "It's always great when you're in buildings with kids, you know. That's where my passion is, and that's really where I get my energy from." Kendrick Weichel took advantage of the timing of spring break in her current district to spend 3 days visiting all 24 Unit 5 schools, stepping into classrooms and meeting staff and students. Building principals led her through each school with a few board members tagging along. "At every level and every school," Kendrick Weichel said, "the sense of community drew her in. Throughout all of the buildings, you see that sense of community and pride. And to me, it's always a good feeling when you walk into a building and feel like this feels like a family," she said. "That's just a good feeling knowing that I'm coming into a district that values that and appreciates that and already has that established." She has served as superintendent in Warrensburg-Latham since July 1, 2010, as Kendrick Weichel made her way through various NCHS classrooms. She said the number of high-quality options available to the students was impressive. A quick demonstration of a fitness dance PE class stopped the new superintendent in the halls. Kendrick Weichel, excuse me if I'm not pronouncing her name right, said that she was almost ready to start dancing after listening to Ben Lugenbull's vocal music class, where the students don't sing to impress, we sing to inspire. A hands-on math class combining geometry and construction was another highlight of her tour, and a familiar setting since she took vocab classes in her high school days. In the elementary school, students were excited to ask her simple questions like, "What is a superintendent?" But one fifth grader surprised her, asking what she is most excited about coming into the district. "Really, I can't wait to get started," Kendrick Weichel said when the 10-year-old's question was repeated. "I've had the opportunity to be in the district a day here, a day there, over the last couple of months now, and I've I've had the opportunity to be in the district a day here, a day there, over the last couple months, and now I've so enjoyed getting to meet everyone so far, learning about what we're doing, and then already starting to make plans for next year. I really can't wait to jump right in, become a part of the community. I want to be a familiar face for principals, students, staff. As I told a large group of culinary students today, if you see me next year, say hi or reach out." And the picture shows the new McLean County Unit 5 Superintendent, Kristen Kendrick Weichel, laughing as Normal Community High School Principal Trevor Chapman takes her on a tour of the school's pool Thursday. Rice pleads guilty to firing gun during fight, gets 4 years in prison, Decatur. Matthew L. Rice was sentenced to 4 years in prison Thursday after he pleaded guilty to opening fire while a fight was going on in a crowded downtown Decatur parking lot. Rice, 24, appeared before Macon County Circuit Court Judge Thomas Griffith, pleading guilty to one count of aggravated unlawful use of a weapon. It was part of a plea deal negotiated by his defense attorney, Steve Jones, which saw additional charges of being a felon in possession of a weapon and reckless discharge of a firearm dismissed. A sworn affidavit from Decatur police about the case said police saw Rice firing into the air during a melee that broke out in the early morning hours after an event hosted at the Decatur Masonic Temple at 224 West Williams Street. Writing in the affidavit, police officer Brent Morey had described Rice's decision to open fire as reckless and dangerous. Rice's actions jeopardized the safety of the people in the parking lot, he added. Morey said Rice had then tried to flee the lot in his vehicle but was intercepted by police who boxed his car in. He had refused to get out, Morey said, and was arrested after being manhandled from the vehicle. A stolen .45 caliber handgun had been seized from Rice's car and 10 spent shell casings recovered from the parking lot. Griffith told Rice he could have faced up to 7 years in prison without the plea agreement and asked him if he understood the terms. Yes, sir, Rice replied. He will get credit for some 95 days already spent in custody at the Macon County Jail, and the prison sentence is also eligible day for day credit. Police: cocaine scales found during search, Decatur. Police say they arrested a Decatur man Wednesday after discovering cocaine and digital scales during a search of his residence. According to a sworn affidavit, police executed a search warrant Wednesday night at a residence in the 900 block of East Main Street. Members of the Decatur Police Street Crimes Unit assisted in the search, which resulted in the discovery of over 8 grams of a substance that tested positive as cocaine, the affidavit said. Police said they found documents on a bookshelf that belonged to the 37-year-old suspect, alongside a bag containing 6.9 grams of a chunky white substance. Detectives also found 1.6 grams of the substance in the kitchen and 3 digital scales, according to the affidavit. Authorities said that the suspect was placed on probation on February 4th for charges of manufacturing and delivering cocaine. The most recent arrest includes a preliminary charge for unlawful possession of a controlled substance between 1 and 15 grams. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the state's attorney's office. The man was booked into the Macon County Jail and is being held on $100,000 bond. And the picture with the History Corner, a look back, is from 1983, and it shows John Dunn dancing a jig with Veronica Nykamp of Forsyth, a native of Tipperary, Ireland, at a St. Patrick's fundraising party. And there she's in a skirt with her obviously dancing shoes on, and he's standing next to her with they both have their knees up, hands on hips, and ready to dance. Today's highlight in history shows on March 6, 1944, U.S. heavy bombers staged the first full-scale American raid on Berlin during World War II. On March 6th in 1475, Italian artist and poet Michelangelo was born in Caprese in the Republic of Florence. In 1834, the city of York in Upper Canada was incorporated as Toronto. In 1836, the Alamo in San Antonio, Texas, fell as Mexican forces led by General Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna stormed the fortress after a 13-day siege. The battle claimed the lives of all Texan defenders, nearly 200 strong, including William Travis, James Bowie, and Davy Crockett. In 1857, the U.S. Supreme Court, in Dred Scott versus Sanford ruled 7-2 that Scott, a slave, was not an American citizen and therefore could not sue for his freedom in federal court. In 1933, a national bank holiday declared by President Franklin D. Roosevelt aimed at calming panicked depositors went into effect. Chicago Mayor Anton Cermak, wounded in an attempt on Roosevelt's life the previous month, died at a Miami hospital at age 59. In 1935, retired Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr. died in Washington 2 days before his 94th birthday. In 1964, heavyweight boxing champion Cassius Clay officially changed his name to Muhammad Ali. In 1970, a bomb being built inside a Greenwich Village townhouse by the radical weathermen accidentally went off, destroying the house and killing three group members. In 1973, Nobel Prize-winning author Pearl S. Buck, 80, died in Danby, Vermont. And in 1981, Walter Cronkite signed off for the last time as principal anchorman of the CBS Evening News. Dear Abby, Aunt claims to keep girls safe from abuse, aims to keep girls safe from abuse. Dear Abby, one of my husband's sisters has 8 kids, ranging from 15 months to 20 years old. She hasn't taken care of any of them for more than 3 years. They never saw a doctor. They didn't have food in the house. And she was abusive. When she lost custody, the ones without dads in the picture went to live with another one of my husband's sisters. Since then, 3 of the children she was caring for went into foster care. My husband and I visit them regularly, but no one else in the family has seen them at all. 2 of the kids are now in our care. They've been living with us for 6 months. The rest of his family hasn't visited them either. I also have a 15-month-old son who wouldn't know any of them if they did come by because they never do. Now, last month, my husband's family invited us over. I didn't want to go and didn't want my son or 6-year-old niece to go either. My husband thinks they have a right to see their family. I don't think they should be around family who can't be bothered to see them regularly. I also think my niece shouldn't have to be around an aunt who abused her and neglected her. She's only now starting to realize that's not normal or okay. My nephew is 15. He knows what happened wasn't right and has chosen to stay away from his aunt since moving out. Am I wrong to keep my niece from her family? She's not old enough to decide, but I think at this point it would do more harm than good. Signed, Conflicted in the Midwest. Dear Conflicted, at this point, you are that child's responsible adult, parent. If you feel it would be detrimental for her to be forced into contact with her abuser, stand your ground. Dear Abby, I'm a 36-year-old female, smart, well-educated, attractive, successful, and a fantastic mom and partner. My problem is I can't stop stalking my boyfriend's ex on social media. It seems like she can't let go. She constantly posts comments about their previous relationship, about his family and still loving them. She's also close friends with my boyfriend's sister. I don't know why I constantly compare her to myself. I know what I bring to the table. Why am I so threatened and concerned by this gal? She's younger than I am and posts all her feelings onto the social media world, even things about my boyfriend, some of which have included remarks about me. Why can't I stop being so nosy? I keep telling myself the past doesn't matter. He's with me now. Don't worry about her, view from the sidelines, etc. But I'm beginning to feel like something is wrong with me. Help, please. Signed, Stalker in Texas. Dear Stalker, you remind me of a celebrity who can't tear herself away from the tabloids, regardless of how cruel or off base they are. The only thing wrong with you is that you're allowing your insecurity to overtake you. As you stated, your partner is with you now. If he had any interest in his ex, that wouldn't be the case. Because you can't seem to pull yourself away from the internet, consider detoxing by scheduling some conversations with a licensed medical professional. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated March 6th, 2020. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.